Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
This place was a sleeping giant.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
With the draft, I feel really confident where we're at.
I think that you can go a bunch of different directions because you've checked a lot of boxes when it comes to need.
We're going to be prepared for all the different scenarios that pop up.
Let's say you took Will Campbell at 10 and you thought you could play him as guard depth this year and then he could step in for Braxton Jones next spring if you didn't want to re-sign Braxton Jones.
So the Chicago Bears, I'm just keep looking at them with Genty. It's the Detroit model.
Chicago's in kind of this weird spot, right? They're hoping for quarterbacks to go. If Tyler Warren's there, you run it in.
I would not trade down from 10. I think the number one reason is, why would you trade down? Who's coming up? What are they coming up for? If Ashton Genty's there, take him.
It's deeper in certain areas than others.
They're likely going to try to add more picks. I mean, they've got 7, but last year they had 4 picks. They need to add some players to their roster. They are not a player away.
I had a league source hit me up earlier. I mentioned the idea of the 49ers as a possible team. That's one to watch for the Bears, given that they're at pick 11, one spot behind the Bears.
Depends what the cost is, who the player is, the value, all those sorts of things. We're weighing those right now, but we'll see come draft night.
Nico Harner.
Your teammate, Ian Happ, had very concise thoughts on the Bears draft.
As far as the draft goes, trust the Bears staff. Go get them. Believe in you.
So there you go. Would you like to further that? Do you have any thoughts on the Bears draft?
Yeah, just be selectively aggressive, you know, just like really target upside, but don't reach outside of it too much. Just hunt for what's best for you and, you know, don't let emotions get in the way. It's just whatever's next right in front of you.
I think this one's going to be a little wild.
You think it could get wild?
It could get wild, Brad. It could get wild. Sit back and watch. We have no feel right now. We'll see.
With the 10th pick, the Chicago Bears select.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We are less than 2 hours away from the NFL draft. We are less than an hour away from our draft special, which is going to be hosted by our guy Judson, our guy Groats, and Dave Wanstead.
Damn.
It is amazing. So during breaks, I often will go and take a lap around the station or stations, plural. And there's a buzz in the hallway because everyone's getting their marching orders on what it is they're doing. Extra producers are coming in and they're ready to go. I think I saw one of the two Tylers. I imagine
Buzz
we'll see
is out there with them.
Yeah, I imagine we'll see the other Tyler before the night is done. Sean is here. I saw him.
Sean Sears.
As well.
Big guns.
They're bringing it. Studs has arrived.
Bigger guns.
So it is going down in the DMs tonight. Judson Richards, Mark Grody,
pile of handsome right there.
Very much so. Dave Wanstead got you covered in about an hour, but we thought that it might be a good idea to take you to Green Bay.
Friend of the show, friend of the station, colleague, and esteemed national radio personality, Paul Pabst, is up there in Green Bay enjoying the NFL draft atmosphere. It's got to be something, and we need to hear all about it from Paulie, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Hotline. Circa Sports, Illinois. Download the Circa app today. Paint us a picture, Paulie, of draft eve before it gets started tonight up there in Green Bay.
Glad to. Like Brent Musburger would say, you are looking live at the parking lot of a bocce place just across the street from Lambeau Field. I was going to give you guys this beautiful shot of Lambeau over my shoulder, which is honestly 200 yards on the other side of the street. I couldn't do it. As a Bears guy, as much as Lambeau is an icon of football, I can't do it on Bears draft night. So we are in an empty hibachi parking lot across the street from Lambeau Field. That's the kind of coverage you're getting tonight.
That's amazing.
I actually really like that.
God.
How far away from Green Bay are you staying, Paulie?
We are in Green Bay. We're in the southern end of Green Bay. Our hotel is 8 blocks south of Lambeau. In all seriousness, it feels like a state fair is going on. There's people everywhere. There's jerseys from all different teams. There's a lot of Bears jerseys here, more Vikings and Lions. But this is one of the great events that Green Bay will ever have. Because it's an outdoor stadium, they won't host a Super Bowl. Now, they won't host a lot of things here. So they're expecting 250,000 people on the streets. the weather's pretty good. For Green Bay, 52 degrees and overcast is great this time of year. And the stadium's going to be completely full. It's a really fun event in a place that normally wouldn't get this type of event.
I saw a tweet the other day. It was Mike Greenberg and Booger McFarland eating at a diner in Green Bay. And they were like joking about how small town it was, which is adorable. Have you been amazed by anything like adorably small town about the tiny little hamlet of Green Bay at this point?
Well, I like it because it's not a city and it's not a town. It's somewhere in between it, but they don't have a lot of tall buildings. We went to a little steakhouse with the guys on the Dan Patrick Show the other day. It was 8 o'clock on a Monday night, and we were the only ones in there. It was really quiet. The town was really quiet. But you know, we're not in downtown Green Bay. We're over by Lambeau Field, this whole Packer Village area, and it's really built up over the years. What's really interesting though, I went down Stadium Way, and you know those like 8 or 10 little 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom houses that people have owned for generations, and you could see Lambeau Field right behind it. I asked a guy what he makes per weekend renting out his backyard. He says $15,000 a weekend per home game. He says he was offered $1.5 million for his home that his parents bought in the 50s for like $8,000.
Wow. I'm not surprised by that. When I would go up to Green Bay, the parking hustle in driveways was always amazing to me. And for the most part, I thought that the people up there were very fair. Like for the proximity to Lambeau Field, you're paying like $25. The equivalent here would be $200, and that's how close you are.
You get $40 at Wrigley, or like 2 blocks away from Wrigley, you're paying $40 for a spot.
Yeah, the other thing about Green Bay fans is they're very interesting. They don't really bang on Bears fans at most. I've met a lot of people here. They're clearly all cheeseheads, all Packer fans. They know I'm a lifelong Bears fan. So they are like, hey, man, I hate your team, but I always liked Walter Payton. You get a lot of that. Like, they almost like they hate everything about the Bears. They hate the Bears players, but they always go, well, Walter Payton was okay. So it's almost like that little hat tip that they respect it. It's kind of like, you know, I've never liked the Green Bay Packers, obviously. But when you go here and you see their stadium set up in the town, you're like, this is a pretty cool setup for football. And I respect the football setup. I respect Lambeau and the fan base and the food and the old school non-corporate feel. I could still wish ill on the Packers on the field, but it's a pretty cool setup.
Hey, man, that's undeniably true. When I've been to Lambeau as a fan, everybody's been incredibly kind.
Same.
And it's just been such a cool atmosphere to see a football game in. I wonder how Bears hostile this broadcast is going to be tonight. Like when we think of great drafts and memorable drafts of the past, like I wonder if every Bears mention is going to get booed tonight by the Packer fans.
I think that's a great topic, Speaks, because the commissioner always gets booed. So I think the booing with the commissioner will be at about a 5, and the booing when the Bears are on the clock will be about a 9+, because this place is going to be 80% plus Packers fans, and this is an opportunity to boo the Bears on national TV, which they usually don't get a chance to do.
Paulie, who's the most interesting or surprising person that you've seen there, whether it's a player that might be drafted or a celebrity that has walked down the street or you guys have had on the DP show, the person you're like, wow, I can't believe you showed up here.
I was walking over by the stadium. I'm right by the stadium. I was walking by the entrance just to see where it is because I'm going to the draft. I have a ticket like anybody else in about an hour. And I'm standing there and I'm just checking in with the family on the phone. And I feel a little tap on my shoulder. And it's the former Hall of Fame Packer wide receiver, James Lofton, wearing his gold jacket, walking in like a fan with his family. And James Lofton's been on the Dan Patrick Show. He goes, hey, man. And I go, hey. I go, oh, my gosh, it's James Lofton. And even though, again, I'm a Bears fan, and he just destroyed the Bears back in the 80s. It was still pretty cool to see him walking on the street. And the Packer fans are flipping out. They're all running over to him to get pictures. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I realize I need to make an important follow-up on the location of this phone call we're having with you.
Is the Hibachi place open?
Yeah, the Hibachi place, is it open? Is Dan Patrick and other members of the Dan Patrick Show staff inside the Hibachi place right now?
Yeah, I'm going to break some news here. The entire Dan Patrick Show staff is inside the Hibachi place. We found the only place near Lambeau Field that's completely empty on draft night, and we're going to line up and get some drinks and get some food and then walk about 300 yards to the draft. So, you know, nobody embraces the food in Wisconsin like us because it is hibachi hotbed. And Holmes, you know that. Lawrence, you know that there's hibachi.
Oh, yo, Green Bay, legendary hibachi hotbed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Are they doing all the stuff at this particular hibachi place? Like, is the onion being set on fire? Are they flipping chicken to people? Well, like, set the scene for us.
You know, Shane's going to have to book me again for an hour from now, and I'll give you the whole breakdown.
No.
Because right now, the orders have just gone in. That's a hard no. Wow. That's earliest unbooking in show history.
But that's amazing. You're taking the time out from hibachi dinner with the entire crew of the Dan Patrick Show to talk to us. That's dedication. Listen, if McLovin were there, I don't know if he's there with his affiliation these days. Would he be welcomed into hibachi dinner or not?
Yeah, he'd be there. He would order, of course, he would order like a tofu plate with no protein whatsoever on it, no actual meat. This is a big meat town. You go into, there's 8 barbecue places within walking distance where I am. A big beer town, obviously. It's been fun, but like the draft buzz has really been hot. Like on the Dan Patrick Show today, it starts to get a lot more serious. And it's like draft day is here, and the rumors start going away. You start hearing really real things. And like, I'm so confused right now. I know we're going to get the Bears talk, but what the Bears are going to do? Because I've talked to people on the show who come on who are experts, and they say, you know what? I could see the Bears going up to the Patriots and taking their pick, and the Patriots trade down because they want an offensive lineman and can get one. And even though I don't know if you guys agree with me, I'm not usually big on taking a running back early in the first round. I don't know if that's a financial good idea. But the novelty of taking Ashton Jeanty and putting on the Bears lineup with a quarterback who's now going to be playing from under center a little more play action, it's starting to seep into me, and I'm like, this could be kind of cool. And I don't know if I'm confusing the rumors about the Bears trading up with the actuality of it.
Are you okay if they trade up to get Jeanty, as the rumors are now circulating that that's a possibility? And a quick reminder, everyone, it's lying season.
Yeah, it is lying season. It makes me think that the Bears are leaking stuff about trading up, so someone else trades up and a better player falls in their lap, like a defensive tackle from Michigan or Tyler Warren, the tight end. But either way, I think it works, because anything you do to surround Caleb Williams, I think, will be viewed as a win. Now, trading draft capital for a running back, that's usually not too cool these days. But Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network said there's 3 blue chips in this draft, and Cam Ward's not one of them. It's Abdul Carter, it's Jeanty, and Travis Hunter. And if the Bears have an opportunity to get one of those because the Patriots want to trade out, what's the damage? As long as that player plays great on the field, you can make up draft capital at a later date.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if the Bears somehow ended up with Abdul Carter? Lawrence would just be sprinting around this studio tomorrow, pantsless.
I would spontaneously combust if they were able to make. That's the trade-up move that you make.
Like a Spinal Tap drummer, you would spontaneously combust right there. If they, go ahead, Pauly.
I do think there's a possibility. Again, the Giants hold the draft in their hands. I think everyone's waiting to see what the New York Giants do at 3. And if they somehow go quarterback, which a lot of people don't think they will now, then the draft is wide open because Abdul Carter would be there, or not Travis Hunter. He's going too. And that would be a group of teams would be trying to trade up with the Patriots. So my guess is the Patriots will not make this draft before draft starts, and it'll be open season for about 10 minutes. What's the best offer we get for the 4th pick?
So a little earlier, maybe an hour or so ago, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders Twitter account tweeted out the little eyeballs emoji. Like, ooh, something's happening, and that's all. That's all that they sent out. So now there's an entire fan base going crazy, and all NFL people. Like, this is going to be some wacky stuff.
But to speak to the point on lying season,
yes.
And what Paulie said makes sense, but this is how deep lying season goes. Sports Illustrated put out a report an hour ago with the headline, Browns reportedly listening to trade offers for #2 pick.
Yeah, right. Well, that's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this thing of the Bears maybe trading up for Jeanty is just everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere right now.
It does feel like it's so much it can't be true. But, you know, there's so much on draft night. If you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, there was an article by Adam Schefter he dropped on the morning of the draft, and it said that Aaron Rodgers would not be a Packer anymore, and the people inside the building think he's done with the Packers. And during the draft, that first round, there was reports that he's being traded to the Denver Broncos. Nothing came of it. Nothing whatsoever. I mean, I'll never beat the Laramie Tunsil draft day fiasco where before the draft starts, a video of him smoking weed and with a gas mask on. That's the all-time draft one. You wouldn't believe that if it was on a TV show. But yeah, there's just too many things these days to pinpoint one, which I think makes it a fun draft, because after Cam Ward and Travis Hunter, all you know what could break loose, which is kind of fun.
It was a beautiful moment that you speak of, Paulie, back then, because it felt like at the time the Packers were falling apart. Rodgers had been out here kind of publicly being cryptic about his relationship with the Packers.
Oh, no way.
And it felt, that weekend felt great, because that was the weekend where it felt like the Packers were falling apart and there was this new hope for the Bears because they had just drafted Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's really weird because if you look at the Packers, as much as we don't want them to win and don't want to do well, they took a lot of heat a few years ago and they took Jordan Love and they traded up to get him. And they gave, we had Matt LaFleur on the Dan Patrick Show, the Packers head coach. And he said that they sent the pick in and he quickly called Aaron Rodgers to give him a 90-second heads up that they're about to trade up and get Jordan Love, a quarterback. And Rodgers was like, holy blank. He told the whole story. And the reason they could tell the story now and more comfortable telling the story is it worked out. Jordan Love threw 32 touchdown passes his first year with the Packers. And so they took a lot of heat for drafting Jordan Love, but they may have a quarterback for the next 12 years off that move.
So much good intel we've gotten from Paulie Papps today. One of the biggest was that Green Bay is a big meat town. I wrote that down. I'm going to hold on to that one because I think
no one saw that coming. Yeah. No one saw that coming.
last thing from me, Paulie, before we let you go into the hibachi place and rejoin your peoples. Have you ever hugged Roger Goodell? And if not, do you know if Dan Patrick has ever hugged Roger Goodell, to your knowledge?
Well, that's a point of contention, because in my history of the Dan Patrick Show, Roger Goodell has never appeared on the show.
Wow.
We have asked him to come on the show a number of times. The only time he agreed to come on was back in the Espen days when we had a fill-in host for Dan. I think Trey Wingo was filling in for Dan.
And yeah, he don't want that smoke from Dan. Dan asked the best questions in the business.
Lawrence, I'm glad you said it, because I think that's it. And I'm not trying to pub Dan Patrick up because he's got it all already. But Dan's not going to throw softballs to the commissioner. He's not going to put it on a tee and let him hit it out of the park like some shows do, not all shows do. And, I don't think he sees any upside of coming on our show. We've asked. One time they said he's unavailable. And I said, like, forever? Like, he doesn't have a cell phone? I said, we'll be available anytime, day or night, the commissioner wants to come on. And I'm still waiting on a return email from that one.
Wow, interesting.
Paulie, have fun at the hibachi.
Yes, I'll have fun hibachi in the draft. It's really fun, though. If you're a Bears fan, this is a great night. The offseason has been so good. Lawrence, you and I talked about this a month ago on the show when it filled in. The Bears addressing their offensive line and decent amount on the defensive line has opened up this draft so they could take players who they may not have been able to take 6-7 weeks ago when they looked at the roster. So it's a really fun night ahead.
No doubt about it. Thanks so much for the intel and bringing us to Green Bay.
Take care, boys. See ya.
All right. Enjoy Benihana. Like, it has to be Benihana, right? You didn't want to go, like, name brand?
I don't know. I mean, we can look it up, right? Hibachi place in Green Bay.
Green Bay Hibachi Restaurant.
He's walking us in there.
Is he really? Put him back up. Yeah. Connor, put him back up there. Oh, it could be. It might be Mashima.
Yeah.
Mashima.
I think that's confirmed. There's only three in the whole state, so this has got to be one of them. There's an echo in here because there is absolutely nobody in here.
We don't have a problem with that. Walk us in.
Can we say hi to Dan? It's been a while. Let's say hi to Dan on the way.
He might be at the bar. Let me check.
No, you don't have to violate your boss's privacy. That's
it. I'm getting a tough look from the hostess. I may have to regroup.
All right. We will see you soon, friend. Have a good time.
See you, fellas.
See you, man.
It's Paul.
I don't think Dan would like to be referred to as the hostess, but whatever.
With the mostest.
Right.
Hey, Dan, what was your favorite part about being in Bench Warmers? That's the only thing I would ask him.
He's in all the Sandler movies.
Yeah, he is. I love that.
Sandler finds a spot for him and everyone.
Goodell doesn't want that smoke.
Dan Patrick is a hero of mine in this business for the way that he asks questions. He don't want that smoke.
Yeah, they're very short. They're very short. Mitch approves and forwards emails about it. And then, Tanny breaks my heart by making references.
You can't find things interesting anymore, apparently.
You didn't have to bring that back. Like, we got over that as a group.
I'm just going to go.
As a group, maybe. As an individual, maybe not.
I'm going to go up the hallway, go to Ryan Bort's office.
And, yeah, I found this interesting.
And
speech.
Put my face in a giant pile of Ryan's cocaine. That's what I'm going to do. Actually, Ryan Porth contributed to the cocaine bit conversationally. He told us that earlier today he had a little baggie of Parmesan cheese with his pasta lunch.
One of the clear ones, though. Like, yeah. Not one of the ones that are stapled, yeah. You know, like at the good
like
places.
Yeah.
Yeah, not...
Like a dime bag?
Yes.
It was like he had a dime bag of, air quote, Parmesan cheese.
It was oregano.
Sure it was.
You better believe Porth. It.
God, Coke is good, huh?
No.
I've never had it.
Me neither.
I haven't either.
And don't do it, kids.
You're just doing WD-40 today again. That's all.
Yeah. Okay,
enough. Because it smells fine in here, and you did not have to do that.
I bet it does, sweet breath. I bet it smells fine in there, just like when you spray it into a bag, right? That's how it smells.
Oh, man.
Yeah. When we come back, apparently we need to get nailed down to our picks at 10.
Let's
for the
nail
Bears.
Them down. That's right. Let's get on record, Holmes.
All right.
Let's get specific.
Okay. We're going to do that thing next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
But let's throw a few things out there that I've repeatedly heard. And I'll just say this. These are not guarantees. These are not mere rumors. But don't be surprised. So don't be surprised if the Jaguars trade back. I've heard from multiple sources, and there are multiple people around the league saying that the Jaguars have a lot of interest in big wide receiver Tet McMillan. That would give Trevor Lawrence another great target. That would be exciting for new head coach Liam Cohn. But they don't need to pick him at 5. They don't need to pick him at 6. They don't need to pick him at 7. So the Jags could be making a trade down to 10.
Aditi Kingabwala of CBS Sports HQ.
Nailed that. Impressive. Both the name and the affiliation.
I forgot for a second because she worked at NFL Network for so long. It's weird to see her not there. It's weird to see Pete Schrager not be there on the eve of the draft.
So she said Jags could trade down from 5 to 10. I know who's at 10. I know the answer to 10. That's where the Chicago Bears are.
For now.
So what is, because if you trade up to 5, you can get your Ashton Jeanty. The thought is at 6, the Raiders are going to be taking Ashton Jeanty if he's there. That's why 5 is an action spot with the Jaguars pick.
I know that we are talking about rumor. It is lying season. I don't like the idea of trading up to get Jeanty.
I really don't either. I'm not crazy about the idea of getting Jeanty even if he falls to 10. I'll tell you this. If Jenty's there at 10 and Mason Graham is there at 10 and they take Jeanty instead, I'll be upset about that. I'd rather have Mason Graham.
I don't want Jeanty to cost the Bears an extra draft pick when there's still work for them to do.
So, Lawrence, the obvious question is what you want.
What you want?
You're so funny with the money that you flaunt.
I highly recommend their sit down / documentary.
The Apple TV one that Spike Jones directed.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
On the Beastie Boys, if you didn't know who did that song.
It's really good.
It's really excellent.
Stop avoiding the question. What you want?
Kelvin Banks Jr.
That's cute. You want Kelvin Banks Jr. to start at left tackle next year?
Correct.
Okay.
or at least to compete at left tackle. And if Braxton Jones beats him out, so be it. And you still have a prime tackle prospect that you are going to have here. So if you then decide after a year of serviceable Braxton Jones that you don't want to pay Braxton Jones, then you have a top 15 talent pick at that spot, and he's still working on a rookie deal.
I get you. I get you. All right, so Kelvin Banks Jr., you are locked and loaded. I want Mason Graham if he's there. If he's not there, I want Tyler Warren. And if Tyler Warren's not there, then I'm in trouble. You know what I mean? So I'd probably go Colston Loveland at that point. Or maybe I'd go Mikael Williams. I'm a little worried that the guys that I've been focused on are not there. And I'm not sold on any particular edge, even Mikael Williams, as much as I'd like to. So my answer is, I want Mason Graham. Assuming he's not there, I want Tyler Warren.
I'm sold on it then. And if you're going to trade up, that's the person that you do it for.
For Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even going to be there at five, though.
No, you trade up to three. If you're trading up, if you're giving away assets, I would say give away the asset that is really valuable, because usually the way that it goes is quarterback and person who chases the quarterback as far as value goes.
I know, but he's like really the only one that's got definitive value.
Which is why I'm totally okay if they were to give away draft capital to then go ahead and do that damn thing. I don't feel as strongly as you do about Jenty. I'm fine with Jenty at 10. I'm totally okay with it. The Ryan Poles giving up capital has not gone well. I would prefer he not do that.
You didn't like Chase Claypool, or?
Yeah, there's some problematic things in there. I hope he's getting lots of evaluation help
from Ben Johnson
and Dennis Allen. Hope he's getting lots of evaluation help from those two guys.
Yeah, I hope so too. It's
the way it's supposed to go.
It does feel like that's what's gone on.
We missed so much stuff like during that Cubs game last week after the press conferences, but that's one of the things that they said is like one of the first things Ben Johnson did with Ryan Poles is they brought the coordinators in and it's like, tell me about the type of football player you guys like when they started going over draft stuff.
Yeah, we had heard about that, but then to hear Dennis Allen talking about it was really impactful to me, because that is a better defensive mind than anybody you've had in the building in quite a long time, including your head coach the last 3 years.
I don't want to completely just throw away the job that Eberflus does as a defender. I don't want to act like he can't coach defense. He clearly can. He just couldn't do both. You know what I mean? Like, there are a lot of things to get after Matt Eberflus about. I don't think that it's particularly fair to act like he's not a good defensive mind.
I saw a fun one, a fun mock earlier today. It was a turtleneck. It was a fun mock. But no, I saw one that had the Bears trading down from...
I saw a fun smock.
It was Mike Bray.
a fun smock?
Yeah.
Oh, were you painting?
I was crocheting.
Oh, okay. Had a Garrett Crochet start?
Yes.
That's funny how you do that. It had the Bears trading down from 10 to 17 with the Bengals.
I'd be fine with that.
And getting Omarion Hampton at 17.
He's a player that, as we've gotten closer, I'm like...
You know,
I like it.
You know what they picked up from the Bengals for doing that?
Trey Hendrickson,
the other defensive end. That's the thing.
The Bears can afford to.
Oh, there could be some wildness tonight with some of that stuff. Like if players start to get involved in some of these trades.
I think George Pickens might get traded tonight.
Yeah, I'm good.
Not here.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
If I were the Steelers, I'd be like, you know what? You got to go. Even though you're great.
Anybody who's watching us right now on the Twitch channel or the YouTube channel, you're in for a treat. And maybe, you know, if you're not, you can go grab that right now. You can look back. Or I retweeted this as well.
Grab that, Joe!
This is the Chicago Tribune sports section that a listener sent to Mitch Rosen from Wednesday, the 20th of January, 1993, when Dave Wannstedt was in town to accept the job as Chicago Bears head coach.
He looks cold.
That picture of him and Mike McCaskey in matching camel-colored trench coats.
Wait.
Inside Soldier Field.
Did he do a good job? I can't remember.
And there's a Bernie Lincecum column.
There's a Bernie Lincecum. Dude, that's the most fun. The Bernie Lincecum column over there. I mean, it was never that fun. But like, just everywhere. There's a Don Pearson story.
The dean of Bears football.
Absolutely. Mike Conklin has an odds and ends column that you
look
can
on
read.
The back page at a very young Bill Belichick.
Yeah. The young guns are booming in the ever-changing NFL. The young coaches, Bill Belichick at 39, Dennis Green at 43. Are the young coaches being highlighted?
They wanted to crown him, huh?
So they crowned him.
I mean, there's looking through this sports section. Let me ask you this: do you think that Rodney McRae should get that arthroscopic surgery? Considering.
Are they talking about his famous rant in there? Or no. That was Hal.
it was Hal McRae. Yeah.
What else is in there?
Oh, sadly.
About preps?
The passing of Chris Street of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Oh no, Houston's dad,
basketball player. It's very sad that he passed.
What year is that again?
1993.
You might find Peter Patton in there as like the player of the year for the Tribune.
Well.
And then, you know.
He's going to get fired again on
actually,
Friday.
Actually, I think he's a year older.
Game.
That's the year I graduated. Yeah. Well, actually, no. That actually tracked. That he could be in there as the player of the year because that would have been 1992 season. And he could have been in there as the player of the year in January.
Boy, this is a remark. Look how big this sports section is. Look how wide this is. How much stuff is in there. My God.
I don't think people were reading that, though. They were reading Royko in the Sun-Times.
You know, I was looking at this trib right here.
He's reading Boers in the Sun-Times.
We got to ask Dave Wanstead what Michael McCaskey was talking to him about as stood here in Soldier Field and looked up into the sky. I mean, what the hell are they looking at?
Cranes.
Up there?
They're looking at cranes.
Maybe that's what it was. Oh, God.
There's cranes. Speaking of Dave Wanstead, he is going to be in studio. We're going to do like a little bit of a line change. So Judson Richards and Mark Grody and Dave Wanstead are going to be in here. I'm going to go in the auxiliary booth and hang out. But we're going to do a little transition and talk with our guy, Wani, who looks resplendent today. He looks so good. You got to watch on Twitch or just hang out with us here on the Odyssey app or on WBMX HD2 or, of course, right here on 670, The Score.
Woof, 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 woof. Yeah.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Let's talk about the draft. What do we need?
I like Vontae Mack. He's special. He's different. He could transform our defense, even as a rookie.
Defense doesn't make a splash. Sonny, people pay to get wet.
The draft is here, and we are going to have it covered for you here on The Score starting at 6 o'clock tonight. The whole crew is in the building. Our guy Judson is here. Wait, what's wrong? What's wrong?
You sound a little cyber.
Good morning, boys.
Yes, you sound a little bit like Cyber Biggs. But that's okay.
Now you do.
Boys, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that better?
It's just something feeding back upon itself. But that's okay. They'll get that sorted out. That's Lawrence Holmes. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show here on 670 The Score. And we are joined by a cavalcade of stars. I think Fred Travellina is here. Mark Grody is here.
Hello.
Judson Richards is here.
Thanks, Peaks.
Dave Wanstead is here. Ronnie. The draft show is underway. Lawrence, we got you back. Not just yet. Okay, so what's up, boys? Draft show tonight. You guys excited? Groats?
I couldn't sleep last night. Not necessarily something I'm proud of, but I had so much adrenaline going because we've been talking about this draft. There is no longer preview of something in sports than the draft. Is there? I mean, those 2 weeks ahead of the Super Bowl can be a bit agonizing information overload. So this is a great day that it has come to. There have been so many things tossed around for the Bears at 10 and for various teams throughout the draft. So quite frankly, I can't wait to hear how it all goes down tonight in the draft.
Yeah, 10 is also kind of the perfect number of intrigue.
right? It's almost like, you know, you start getting into the teens, you're like, I don't really know who these guys are. 10 keeps you in a really, really great place of knowing who the players are. And then potentially we have all these rumors about, are they moving up to go and get a running back? Mm-hmm. And then behind all of that is, well, how exactly does Ben Johnson see his offense? Ashton Gentry would look pretty good in it.
So, Coach Wanstead, is this best spread you've ever seen going into a draft night? Or is it possible that you guys back in Dallas had some nice buffet spreads and things like that for a draft night?
Wait, what do we have?
We have Rinaldi's on its way. Is it here?
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Unless you want me to go in and bust a piece of that wooden table off and chew on that. That's about all I see here.
Okay.
Is my speaker on?
Yeah, they're working on that. Coach, you look good, man.
I do. I've been going since this morning. I feel good, you know. I feel good. I'm blessed to be here. See the grandkids yesterday, up early this morning on Big Ten. Leave here, go do some NBC. Yeah.
It's you.
Do a few lunches, a few dinners, and talk some football, talk some draft. It's exciting. I mean, for a guy that's been in it for 40 years and sitting in a lot of draft rooms, you know, it's another big day at the office. You know who it's exciting for as much as Mark over there?
How's it going?
It would be the scouts.
Bears.
And the scouts, you know, the way the whole thing is set up, the scouts, every organization has an area scout. So they'll go in to maybe it's the Midwest. Let's use that as an example. And then they're going to rank their players, and they're going to be going in there for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden the national scout comes in, and the college director comes in, and then obviously it gets to the GM. And my point that I'm making is this is scouts' Super Bowl. I mean, these guys have been putting years into a draft and following kids for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Who knows? And these guys have played, you know, short careers in college. All of a sudden, they got to go back and look deeper into maybe their high school and get background. So I was always fired up. Yeah, you're going to get a player. Every team thinks they're going to get a player that's going to be a Pro Bowl player and he's going to make a difference in your team. You got to look at it mm-hmm. that way. You know, but at the end of the day, the whole thing with this damn draft, it's not a matter of if you like them, take them. You just be darn sure with your first three picks that they're going to make your team and be major contributors. You know, we never got into that thing, oh, he's, you know, let's draft Emmitt Smith because he's going to be the all-time leading rusher. That was not it. We needed a running back. He was a four-year starter at Florida, and we knew he was durable and tough. We liked his personality, and we said we need a back. Mm-hmm. So if you like him, draft him, you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, and you knew that he was going to be a major contributor. So that's the key with the Bears right now. With their, you know, first, what, 3 or 4 picks here, really, actually the first three and within the first 50, right?
Yep.
They got 3 picks. I mean, those three guys need to be starters. And who's first, who's second, and who's third? To me, you know, it's money and stuff and obviously publicity and a lot to talk about. But as long as they're big-time players, and they're starters for us. Hey, the sky's the limit. You don't know how far they'll mature and potentially be Pro Bowl players. That's what you want.
Coach, we started the show today talking about Steve McMichael, and I know that the inside of us celebrating the draft, I'd love to know how you feel about his life and his courageous struggle with ALS and his passing.
Well, unfortunately, you know, I've known a couple of friends that have dealt with, you know, obviously the ALS, and it's and Steve fought that thing harder than anyone I know. I mean, he truly, truly did. And you know, I used the Mike Ditka quote one time. I remember talking to Mike, and Mike said, you know, he was probably the toughest guy that he's ever coached. And coming from Coach Ditka there, we know the, you know, the magnitude that carries. And you know, it's obviously tragic for his family and the National Football League and the Bears. I mean, he was such a common face, you know, such an impact guy on the field and off the field that it's a loss. It's a tough deal, but the way the guy was struggling and fought it was just amazing. It truly was.
Yeah, Dave did coach Steve McMichael for right. 1 year in 1993. So, yeah, we're going to pull a couple stories out of him at the very beginning
of
the
awesome.
Show. Just some of the some of the texture of Steve McMichael. Mongo.
How's this going to work tonight, Mark Crody?
Here's how this is going to go down tonight. We are going to, for the next hour, obviously, preview what may or may not go down in this draft. One of the things that we're going to do is going to be our, we're going to talk to every single host on the radio station and find out what everybody thinks the Bears are going to do draft-wise. We're going to go out to Hallis Hall and bring in Chris Emma. Wanstead is here. Judson Richards is here. He will be giving us all the news of the night. So we will be here until 9 o'clock. The draft starts in earnest at 7 o'clock. We will have every pick for you, and we will be breaking it down and reacting to it throughout the night.
Gentlemen, it's going to be a great show. Thank you so much. Make sure you listen to what they've got coming up, because our draft coverage is going to be second to none. Thanks to Dan Pompey and Jarrett Payton for beautiful thoughts on Steve McMichael. Thanks to our buddy Matt Bowen for getting us squared away for the draft. And thanks to you for being a big part of today's show.
And to Paulie Papps for joining us from the Hibachi restaurant parking lot.
That's right. And giving us a taste of what Green Bay is like right now for the draft. For Tanny, for Shane, for Spiegs, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for all the love and support you show this show. We will try and repay the favor tomorrow after Cubs baseball on The Score.
You make this deal right now, Tom, and you get Bo Callahan. Say it with me. You get Bo. Come on, Tom, say it with me, you pancake-eating...